Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Our speaker today is the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James, and we continue our series on the Holy Spirit. Today our talk is entitled Building the Kingdom. The readings this week are taken from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, and Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 11. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading, as you can see, is taken from Ephesians chapter 4. And this is the chapter where Paul is explaining that we are the body of Christ. And although there is one body, we're certainly not all the same. Beginning at verse 11. So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and blown there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect a mature body from him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may your scriptures speak to us individually and as a body, that we may fulfill your plans, the plans you have for this church and for us in our own lives. We ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit sore today because yesterday I went to Minehead, to the beach, and I asked my sons to help me with sunscreen at the back. And for some reason, he missed some spots, and I missed some spots. So by the time I got home, I was kind of all red here. But should be fine. I hope you do enjoy this weather. Today we're going to look at not physically fit, but in a sense spiritually fit. What does it mean to be a church fit for purpose? How are we God's instruments ill? Like Richard said earlier, we are not building our own kingdom. We are subjects, privileged subjects. There is a part in Scripture that speaks we citizen too, but I won't mention that too much. We are friends. Jesus tells us we are his friends. But it's true, we have a king, and we have a great responsibility to be carefully listening to his desire for his world, because that's his world. and he has made us this privilege to be part of his kingdom and to contribute in our own way to his purposes and intentions. So let's start with a little story. There we go. Years ago, a young couple inherited a beautiful old sailing boat from a relative. It was majestic, polished wood, tall sails, and a reputation for cruising through the channel. But over the years, it had become a dockside ornament, moored, admired, but unused. One day, they decided to take it out. It looked ready. But the moment it hit the waves, they discovered that the rudder was a bit stiff, the sail had one of the sail was torn, and the hull had a slow leak. It wasn't seaworthy. It had the appearance of strength, but it wasn't fit for purpose. And I think this little story should, in a sense, stir our hearts and awake our conscience, because a church lacks a boat that is just there on a dockside, like an ornament, may look impressive from the outside, but unless it's aligned with God's course, fit for his purpose, and empowered by his life, his spirit, it cannot carry his mission into the world. And so Paul, in that letter to the Ephesians, urged them to live a life worthy of the calling they had received, to live a life worthy. We are called to live a life worthy of the call we have received, a life worthy of being included into his family for his glory. And it's not just an individual call, it's a shared responsibility and a shared call. We are called together into something that's much bigger and greater than ourselves. We call to reflect God's heart to his world. We call to be a people that is Christ-centered, spirit-filled, and kingdom-shaped. A community that reveals the reality of heaven right here on earth. Your kingdom come, your reality come, your will be done. That's our prayer when we do the Lord's Prayer. So how do we grow? Or how are we continuing to grow as a healthy church? And that has been the subject of when we had our Way Day, and something we're going to continue to explore. How do we grow in health as a church and as individual? Well, in this passage, Paul kind of underlines three areas that are so important for the life of the church. First is receiving and honoring Christ's gifts of leadership. In that passage, it speaks that Christ himself gifted people to the church to help that church being built up and grow and being strengthened. And we'll look at those five areas that we have in this passage. By equipping every believer for ministry and building up the whole body to maturity, that's the second point. And by each member, that means all of you, finding your active part in God's kingdom. And that doesn't mean finding your active part in a local church and that's your ministry. No, your main ministry is actually not in the church. Your main ministry is outside the church. That's where you spend most of your time. But you're also part of a body, and how do you then fit in the parts of what God is doing here at St. James? And how you can be yourself a gift to the ministry of St. James. So those three points, let's start with the first one. Receiving and honoring Christ's gifts of leadership. And we have in this passage, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. That's Christ's gift to the local church or to a national church. But here we're going to concentrate on our situation as St. James. And it's not a gift for a status or control. People who are called into leadership are there to serve, to guide, to renew, to build up. If you're in leadership and that's not your core call, you shouldn't be in leadership. If you are there to serve your own purpose, if you are there to build your sense of identity or status, if you're there to control and make sure things happening your own way, that's not leadership. Jesus himself says, I haven't come to be served. I've come to serve and even give my all life as a ransom. So the list here is quite specific: apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teacher. But it's not exhaustive. We have other passages that speaks of other kind of leadership in the church. One of serving, administration, encouragement. There's bits we could say kind of leading worship or leading service or so, if we translate in our modern way. There are also structures that we find. The role of elders or overseers and bishops. And we are in a particular church that has a particular structure called an episcopal structure with bishop and priest and deacon and lay ministry. It has its strength and it has its big weaknesses. And I think the Church of England is rediscovering the ministry of all believers within that structure. And of course, we have in other passages the ministry of deacons, which is the kind of a servant leaders meeting practical needs within the community. We have that in Acts. So what about here, this kind of fivefold ministry? For some in kind of independent church, that's kind of their key way of structuring their churches. But I think there is strength and there are a little bit weaknesses about that. First, because, well, if we think about, we should have apostle there. There is, in one way, there was the 12 apostles, and then Barnabas, who was brought in because Judah kind of fell out. And then, of course, we have Paul, who became. And they were the foundation of the teaching of that early church. And if you look at Scripture now, your New Testament is mostly Paul's letters, and some of the other apostles, Peter or John or the Gospel. So in one way, that was quite specific for that time. But many have seen in this idea of apostle being sent, and some see missionaries, church planters, as kind of have apostolic ministry. But it could be also that we see apostle at our even own level. When someone is sent or someone is called to build something new, kind of we call it pioneering ministry, or something that needs a foundation, a new foundation. Or we could even see that within the structure of the Church of England, when you're waiting for your priest or your vicar, he is sent. You kind of discern what would be the best, but he's the person that is sent to you for a time to help you, to help maybe redirect, to help maybe reform, to help strengthen what is good, to maybe expand the ministry. So that idea of apostle being a vision carrier, someone who builds up, who expands, might be helpful. Then prophets, well, there is a lot of understanding in the first century about prophets. They had the whole Testament. And so in a sense, it's the one who speaks the word in a particular place for a particular time, for particular needs. That's what to have prophetic ministry. Words of encouragement, but also words of warning or correction. It helps the church maybe see more clearly what God is calling them to be, being more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, being more aligned with God's will. In a sense, without them, the church might be stuck in the past, not able or not willing to hear new direction, renewal. And that ministry can come from all places. And we can be surprised as we encourage the ministry, not just of all believers, but of all ages, our children and young people included, how they can be gifts to this church of prophecy. Sometimes the most profound things that we hear comes from the mouth of children. They can be so transformative. They can be having such an insight into what needs to hear. Some of the greatest encouragement I've received is from children. One of the one is when I opened my door, I think it was Halloween, I opened my door and it was children, I think, from Northtown. I didn't recognize them. But they said, "Oh, you're the vicar of St. James. You're such a legend," they told me. And I felt so good about myself. "Thank you very much. I'll take that." I've not heard that from this church. You see, children had to come to my door to encourage me. "No, you're great." Evangelism, those are the ones who burning from the inside to the lost outside. They're stirred in their hearts. They see the urgency to be a church that looks out. We've been brought in, not to stay in. We've been brought in so we can be a witness to the world. So they help the church to connect with the unchurched. They maybe do training in evangelism. They create that culture of invitation and witness. That's a great gift to the church. It helps the church stopping from being inward focused and to be more missional and having compassion for the lost. And then we have this pastors and teachers. And there is a lot of commentators disagreeing. Is it pastor and teacher? Is it pastor teacher? So I might do something that's completely wrong, but I think it is pastor-teacher, but also different. And the way I see it is that you can be a pastor, but you can't be a good pastor if you're not in some way a teacher, because pastoring people is not just about having a nice cup of tea and coffee and a biscuit and says it's nice. It's helping them reconnect with God. So you need to know your Bible to help them, to build them up. But you're not a teacher, you're not a theologian. So pastors are, in some ways, teachers, but that's not their main ministry. And teachers, they can't teach well if they don't have a pastoral heart. So the way I see it, it's a little bit like in a hospital. You have the doctors, and they're mainly the brain. They studied many, many years, but they need to be caring too. They need to be a little bit like nurses. They need to have that connection. And the nurses maybe have, I don't like to say little brain, but less brain, but they do less study, you know, they know their stuff, but they're closer to the people. They're caring. But they need the knowledge too to do that well. So I think pastor-teacher or teacher-pastor have that kind of connection. You need both, but your main focus is one. Because pastor is about caring. It's about spiritual, emotional health. It's about being with people to pray with them, to comfort, but also to guide, to build them up, to bring discernment and wisdom in situations. Pastors helps others connect with God and connect with one another. Without them, the places, the churches will be harsh. They lack those relational depth and this healing ministry. And the teacher, well, those are mainly instructing, educating, helping, providing sound doctrine, scriptural clarity, maybe building a whole discipleship system so that everyone can grow in knowledge. They help us understand God's word and live out God's word. They can protect us from false teaching, and they can anchor us in the truth. Without them, the church becomes unstable or shallow or vulnerable to doctrinal drift. So the church needs all of that. But the purpose for any kind of ministry is to equip all of the believers in that local faith community to have a service, to understand their purpose, to understand what God is calling them into, and to build the whole body to maturity. This is what we have to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And so those fivefold ministry, if you want to call them apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, exist for that one overarching purpose, to activate the whole body of Christ to be fully alive and engage in God's mission. And it has two connected purposes. One is to equip others to serve and witness, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And that has to do with helping discover gifts, abilities, and spiritual gifts, making systems so that people are matched if they are involved in the life of the church, to how they're shaped, the kind of experience they can bring. It's not just the spiritual gift, it's also your character, your way of life, your experience, and you bring that to help the church grow and be stronger. And to cultivate a mindset that we are all involved, and one of our value in our mission statement, in our vision statement, is all involved. We all have a part to play. But it's also equipping not just so that the life of the church is growing, but even more important, so that your Christian living is impactful where you are. That you live fully as a Christian, as fully as you can, out there. That you have a kingdom impact in the spheres you are inhabiting. That can be your work, can be your home, can be the places of hobbies, can be your friendship, your neighborhood. I always try to say, if the life of the church is important and we all need each other to build whatever God has in plan, a rule of thumb is that we're living in quite a busy world. It's really busy. Certainly those who are active in life and they're working out, it's really busy. And I think giving 5 hours to the church should be kind of a rule of thumb. So you're coming here, it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours. If you are in a life group, that's another maybe an hour and a half. Maybe a ministry of 1 or 2 hours. Now, I know some of you, you know, you're in a place where you don't have works commitments in a sense and you have more time, that's fine. But it's so important because your life can become just the church. And that's not the purpose of God. The purpose is that we are in the world. We're not of the world, but we are in the world. That's where God has placed you. So don't feel guilty if you can't give, you know, as many as you see some, because your main ministry is out there. It's so important. Yeah, at work, how you live out your life, how people see Jesus in you. And in particular, when life is hard. Because to be true, life can be hard, really hard. Things happen that we don't plan and we're in bad places. But people will see that despite that, you keep faith. You have this structure of hope that is in you. And the church also then works in a good way in helping you going through those hard times. And that's the kind of church we need to become too and continue to be. It's not all about serving, serving, serving. Sometimes we just need to receive. Sometimes we are in a time where I need support, I need the prayer, I need the friendship, I just need to sit with someone who can listen to me. Church leadership is not about creating an audience, it's about forming a people that's equipped to represent Jesus wherever they go. So that's about equipping, and then that's about growing into maturity and unity, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And here it's very important, because knowledge for us as Westerners, it's very much head knowledge. How much do I know my Bible? How much do I know theology? And then I'm mature. We can know a lot about the Bible. You can know a lot about God in the Bible without knowing much about God. What Paul here says is not head knowledge, it's experience. It's the reality of Jesus. It's the stories that you have about, you know, when I really was in a hard time, God has been faithful. And you can point to his faithfulness. You can point to the people that God sent you your way to help, to pray with you, to walk with you. You can see his faithfulness is, if God wasn't with me, I wouldn't have kept the faith. We share that in our life group. So it's one of the most amazing things one of the persons says is that, if God hadn't been faithful, I wouldn't be here. Because sometimes you just need to be held by God. Don't have any strength anymore. And God does it. building up the church to maturity and unity. To have this, what we, if we use a modern term, spiritual resilience, to have this maturity, to know I might have no strength left, but I'll still keep trusting God. I remember the story of Joseph. He had dreams, he had promises from God. We have those promises. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. But at times we might feel like Joseph in that prison. We might feel, Joseph, we worked very hard and life became so unjust, what it looks like. But I keep trusting, because like Joseph, what God has promised, he will do it. And we create that culture where we honor each other, and certainly those God put in leadership. We trust, we love, we speak well of one another. And we encourage those transforming habits, like reading scriptures and praying and worshiping and being grateful and following Jesus. That's how we grow into maturity, and that's how we grow into unity. That church is built up, it becomes strong, focused, and united into God's purposes. And third, all of us have an active contribution to that body. You might be well familiar with that picture of the body in the letter to the Corinthians, and this idea of the hands and the feet and the eyes. And so I'm going to take a bit a different one instead of the body in that sense. I'm going to use more using the sport, because we have so much sport at the moment. You know, some are enjoying Wimbledon, I'm pretty sure. Hopefully you had some nice strawberry with that and cream from Kent to help their economy, you know, Kentish strawberry, very important. Do we have Somerset strawberry? I'm sure we have, yeah? So which one is the better one, the Kentish or the Somerset?
Somerset.
Somerset, there you go. Of course, of course. So, yeah, we have the football. For those who could have put the cricket also. What are they doing at the moment? They okay, England, yes? I was surprised. They had the same score with, they had 384, I think, and then 384 for their first innings. That's quite. Anyway, I'm going to concentrate on football, that body analogy. And it's all about knowing your shape, understanding your part to play, and playing it well. That's what you expect in a football team. If you're a defender, you hold a line. You protect the goal, you stay alert. You're not chasing up for glory up front. You keep the team secure. The goalkeeper, he doesn't run far. But without him, the team collapses. Imagine a team without a goalkeeper. Midfield, he's the one connecting others, supporting, serving. The coach, yes, maybe we feel, wow, he's an important person. But he's really responsible for vision and tactics and alignment and correction. He oversees. He's not the one who do the dribbling. He doesn't manage finances. He doesn't go on boards, certain boards, to try to influence decisions. No, his job is focusing on the team. Now, there is a problem, I think, because this picture, and even the body, we often reduce it to very individualistic. You know, what is my little role in my church? And I tend to now see it more as we have, and that's why in our church we call and we speak of teams. And each team is a part. And each team works together and forms a body. And so in a sense, a football team is nothing if you don't have a physio team, if you have the people who are maintaining the facilities and cleaning, if you don't have a good board, you see, it's a whole enterprise that works well when all bits work together. And yes, we applaud only the team on the pitch or the manager, but actually, everyone works and everyone is important. I see it in Formula One too. You have one driver, he gets all the glory. But without the whole team behind that, it doesn't work. And that's, I think, the picture that Paul has. God is going to have a structure in any church, different parts, and we all need to work together, and we need to discern. We need to discern when something we try to do is actually not of God, and we need to let it go, because otherwise it drains the energy of what God wants to do. So we need to discern our giftings, our callings, and how we work together. And the pitfalls, well, is when we're taking on tasks we're not shaped for. Maybe we're taking a task because we feel a bit guilty, because we feel, well, you know, there is a need there, so I'm going to do that. Or maybe we're piling on more and more that God hasn't asked us to do. Not only we want to be a player on the pitch, but we want to have a little bit of the physio training, and we want to be on the board of meeting, and we want to have a say on the financial board too. It's not healthy. There are people who are specialized for that. Or maybe we're moving out of the calling because we start comparing, or we're a bit insecure, or we want to a bit more control there, and we're doing things God doesn't ask us to do. Or maybe we mistake business with fruitfulness. Someone once said, many people function in their calling only partially, I think mostly with all of it, me including the vicar, because we load our life with tasks and roles that we're never meant to carry. So true. I think it's to be human. So we need the discernment and the grace of God to limit ourselves, to find out what is the main thing, and to keep the main thing the main thing. And then what that grows, there is a growing harmony. I think there is a growing joy in what we do, a growing maturity. And so that's the desire that God has, a desire of a church that is fit for purpose, that understand its priorities, that understand its direction, that understand what God is shaping them to be. It's not just head knowledge, it's real presence of God and real purpose. So, a mature, healthy church, it's not a frantic church, it's focused, intentional, and purposeful. And in a healthy church, we will see Christ's gifts of leadership and people who are able to honor that and to follow that. It's celebrated because it's seen as people who have been gifted to help, to guide, to protect, to equip. It's a place where every believer is equipped to serve. Each person is empowered to be part of that body, but also to have a ministry outside the church. And every part is valued and function in its God-given role. No part is overlooked or overextended. Each part is celebrated for their unique contribution to the whole. So it's a big vision. But that's what we need to strive for. That kind of church that is not afraid to change, even if it's uncomfortable, to embrace all that God has. Because God wants a church that is fruitful, that has an impact on our community. He wants a church that's striving and moving and growing and expanding. A church that is fit for purpose. So, in your notes, those who are going to meet this week, and if you haven't found a group, I really encourage you to find a group, and we are praying to maybe multiplying groups, because that's the place where we find that support, where we find friendship, where we pray, but where also our gifts are discovered. And in that, there is a helpful prayer, hopefully, that you can do. So I'm going to use that. And then there is also expanding on our first reading, which I didn't have time to do today. And after that, if I can ask the music team to come, and we'll sing that song for I Am Building a People of Power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you for the gift of your church. One body, many parts, brought to life by your Spirit and held together in Christ. Thank you that we don't walk this journey alone, but as part of something much bigger, your family, your body in the world. We also see the places where we fall short. We bring before you the areas of weakness in our own church and in ourselves. Places where we need renewal and courage. Places where we need your grace. Bring transformation where there is fear or weariness. And give us a deeper hunger for the coming of your kingdom among us. A greater heart for prayer and a stronger commitment to mission and evangelism. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.